RadioInfluence.com.
He got him in the white trunks. He heard him.
Beautiful. Oh, God.
That's beautiful. He's got it.
And he forced the count.
Wow.
He's looking to mention. And it's all over. It's nice. All over. First round knockout.
Big
he's out. Rich
one
Franklin retains his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen, happened.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
Welcome to another edition of the MMA Report podcast right here on RadioInfluence.com. I am Jason Floyd of the MMA Report. It is Monday, October the 5th, 2020, and this is the interview edition of the MMA Report podcast. And come up here on this edition of the show, you're going to hear from a UFC fighter who's got a fight coming up on Fight Island, and you're going to hear from three fighters that are fighting on Friday night on UFC Fight Pass at Fighting Alliance Championship number 4. The UFC fighter you're going to hear from is Modestus Moukakis, who's going to be a part of the Fight Island card coming up on October the 17th, so next weekend over in Abu Dhabi. He's going to be taking on Jimmy Crute. Had a great conversation with the Baltic Gladiator. We talked about this being his second trip to Fight Island, and of course the matchup coming up against Jimmy Crute. Then the three fighters you're going to hear from, they're going to be a part of the Fighting Alliance Championship number 4 card on UFC Fight Pass on Friday. You're going to hear from Jason High. Of course, everyone knows who Jason High is, been in this business for a long time, but it's been 2 years since we've seen him in competition, so had a chance to catch up with him and talk to him about what has been going on since his last matchup. Also, you're going to hear from David Onama, a guy that I've had a chance to now talk to on two occasions. Talked to him leading up to his last fight for Fighting Alliance Championship, a great win that he had there. And, of course, he's going to look to remain undefeated. So you hear that conversation with him. The final conversation that you're going to hear is going to be with Mikey England, who's a part of that fight card, a undefeated prospect there, fighting out of Glory, and is a firefighter as well. So I had a great conversation with him. Before we get to the interview, one thing I do want to mention, first off, before I mention what I want to mention, do want to say, if you're enjoying this podcast, be sure to hit that that like button on whether you're, you know, wherever you're listening to this podcast. Those 5-star reviews really do help me out. But the thing I wanted to mention, and I'm sure myself and Daniel Gavon will talk about this on Wednesday's edition of the MMA Report podcast, this has been a great week for Bellator MMA. When you look at all the additions that Bellator has made to its roster over the last week or so, I think that Bellator deserves a lot of praise for what they have done as some of the fighters that they have signed over the last week. I think the biggest signing that they have made over the last week is Usman Nurmagomedov, 11-0, a guy that I think that we all kind of expected would end up in the UFC, but that's not the case. It was, right before I was recording this podcast, I had DC and Hawani on, and they were talking about that signing, and DC basically, really just praised Usman, said he's never been at American Kickboxing Academy, but Javier Mendez has worked with him overseas, and Javier just raves about who this kid is. So that is a great signing that Bellator has made. Some other signings Bellator's made over the last week or so: Rustam Kavilov, Brett Johns. That was a little bit of a surprise there, that ultimately the UFC decided to not offer the contract that Brett Johns got there. And, I mean, look, taking advantage of free agency, Jaleel Willis, that's also a really good signing. He's going to make his Bellator debut against Patricky Pitbull. I thought that was an excellent signing for them. Jeremy Kennedy, a nice signing as well. So, really been a great week for Bellator. They've added several other fighters. Jared Scoggins, another solid signing for them. So it's been an incredible week, and I think Bellator, I always say this, I think as when you cover a sport, or like what I, look, in terms of how I cover mixed martial arts, is I wouldn't say I'm a beat reporter. I'm a guy who interviews fighters, and I'm a guy who sits here on the podcast and gives my honest perspective on what I'm seeing. And I will tell you this, and if you're a longtime listener to this podcast, you've heard me say this before, I believe it is our job as people who cover this sport to praise an organization when they're doing things great, but also there's times where you gotta be honest, and where maybe it's not, doesn't make the promotion look the greatest. And Bellator, just unbelievable what they're doing there. And I think it really just kind of shows the shift in Bellator's free agent process of, I mean, look, I'm sure there will be high-priced free agents that they will have interest in. I know they were, you know, I was heard, was told that they had interest in Paige VanZant, but they couldn't get a deal done. And, you know, I think they're going to pick and choose who they go out there and get, but I like what they're doing here. Go out there and find these prospects that maybe the UFC is not willing to bring in at this moment, or maybe, you know what, you're willing to offer that prospect a little bit more money than what the UFC is willing to offer. So, I mean, first off, just kudos. A round of applause for Bellator and what they've done. I mean, those are tremendous signings. And, look, I like what Bellator is doing right now. I think Bellator is doing some great things, and I'm really interested to kind of see how this roster develops over the next 6, 9, 12 months, because you can really see the shift in how they are developing this roster, and I'm loving exactly what they're doing there. I think you know, Bellator taking advantage, and kudos to Scott Coker, Rich Chow, Mike Kogan, everyone over there at Bellator for being able to bring those fighters in. And I think the other thing is, I mean, look, whatever your opinions are of Ali Abdelaziz, you know, you didn't necessarily always see a lot of dominance MMA clients ending up in Bellator, and now you're seeing that. So I think that's great news for Bellator to add the quality athletes that Ali does manage. And man, it's a great signing, great week for Bellator, and it'll be interesting to see how it comes. I will tell you, this week I actually have 3 Bellator interviews lined up for Fighters, going to be part of these Mohegan shows coming up. Going to be talking to Kyle Crutchmere, who he's going to be on that Bellator card. I actually talked to his opponent. That interview will be on next week's podcast as well. Going to talk to Joe Schilling. Really interested to talk to Joe later on this week about his upcoming fight. That should be a banger of a fight there on October 15th against Curtis Millender. Also going to talk to Syed Awad. Always love talking to Syed, and interested to kind of see kind of where he's at this point in his career. You know, it's he's one of my favorite interviews. I'll tell you, there's certain fighters that I just enjoy interviewing, and you know, one of the things is I just, Syed's a guy that I feel like I learn something new about him every time I talk to him, and he is one of my favorite interviews. I'll tell you, the other fighter that I really enjoy interviewing is Aleem Leigh McFarlane. She's one of those fighters I really believe you kind of learn something new about her every time I get a chance to speak to her. So that'll be on next week's interview edition of the podcast, so be on the lookout for that. I do try to get that podcast out on a Sunday, but things kind of got crazy for me over the weekend and just didn't have a time to sit down and record the podcast in its entirety, so that's why this podcast is coming out on Monday. But coming up on Wednesday, Daniel Galvan will join me. We're going to talk about what we saw last weekend at the UFC and Bellator shows. So we'll break down those cards. Also, preview this weekend's MMA. We got a UFC on Saturday. Also, Bellator is in Paris on Saturday, so look forward to that. But gonna let you hear my first conversation on this edition of the MMA Report podcast, and that is with Modestus Moukakis. Of course, made a successful UFC debut back in July of this year, getting a victory at the end of the first round there on the Fight Island show. He is now back, or he will be heading back to Fight Island coming up here on October the 17th, going to take on Jimmy Crute. So I had a great conversation with the Baltic Gladiator as we talked about his matchup against Jimmy Crute. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who makes another trip to Fight Island coming up here on October the 17th. Modestus, as always, man, appreciate time. The fact that this is now your second trip to Fight Island, that you've already experienced it once, will you change anything during fight week that you've experienced at one time already?
I think the main thing that will change is the fact that I'm going to try not to injure myself before this fight, because obviously I managed to get bursitis 2 weeks out from my last fight and stuff like that. So just to stay healthy, really, everything's going to be exactly the same. Now I know what to expect. I know what the protocols are, what tests we're going to get done, what we're going to have to quarantine, where we can go, and you know, stuff like that. And maybe get to enjoy a bit more of the island this time. And you know, maybe try and top up a bit on the tan, since you know, the pale skin's coming through. So do you know what I mean? I want to try and get the golden skin again. But But yeah, now really, it's just about doing everything that I did the same, except it's going to be nice to feel it without having an injury, without having to sort of deal with something. And really make the use of the facilities, make you know, the most out of fight week, and not have to call for ice about 70 times from the hotel room. So I just can't wait for the whole experience again.
Was the quarantine aspect the hardest part?
I don't know. I think the quarantine aspect was the hardest when it was in London. When it was in Abu Dhabi, I was with a room with my dad, and, you know, obviously we get on really well. We have a good relationship. You know, we joke around, you know, apart from having to listen to his snoring, you know, everything's really good. You know, we got the training. Don't get me wrong, though. I'm pretty sure my snoring ain't great either, but, so obviously we got to train in the room. So it felt, you know, it wasn't really too bad in Abu Dhabi, and, you know, everyone's really helpful and stuff like that. But over here in London, they got our orders wrong and stuff like that. You know, no discredit to them. Obviously, I understand they had like a lot of work to do and stuff like that. But it was just like you're in a room by yourself. So you're like literally just looking at the same four walls and just banging your head against the walls, like thinking, what am I going to do? You know, and, you know, Netflix can only go so far in a day, and, you know, doing a little hotel workout. So, to be fair, that was sort of the hardest part. Once we got out there, it was relatively quite easy going.
Yeah, I know when I've talked to guys who've been a part of the shows at the UFC Apex, the thing that most of them will say is, I learned the first time around. The second time, bring an internet cable with you, because sometimes the Wi-Fi may not be the best, you know, especially when you know, like when you have all that additional time in the hotel room that, in normal circumstances, you wouldn't really have that, you know, pre-COVID. Does it allow you just to kind of just be so in tune with the fight that it actually, in a way, makes fight week a little easier?
Yeah, I guess. To be fair, before all my other fights, I'm always sort of focusing, trying to dial in what I'm trying to do anyways, except, you know, I sort of can keep myself a little bit more busy. I guess, you know, it just means that I can sort of go over techniques more in my head, visualize a little bit more or a little bit better, because you're sort of a little bit more at peace. I feel like everything's, just a bit more sort of tunnel vision towards the end goal, which is obviously the fight and then obviously the victory. So it definitely adds a little bit of extra focus, just because you can't really do anything else. So it's definitely a good addition, within the fight week.
Obviously you mentioned about the injury aspect heading into the last fight, but now heading into this one, is there something we're going to notice different about you, of the evolution of your game?
100%. It's going to be the same like that for every fight that I go into. I want to go into every fight showing a skill set or an attribute that I've, you know, been really working on hard in training. And show out in the fight, and, you know, be able to showcase an extra skill set that you lot have not even seen before. But to be honest, when I go out in the fight, there is already a lot of skill sets that I haven't really shown and I know I'm capable of. So it's just a case about, you know, now I'm even more confident. I feel even more free and relaxed to go in there and just do my thing. And like I say, when I'm on a face with bigger challenges, I always step up to the occasion and always bring the best out of me. But of course, when you see in the cage, everyone thinks they've seen the full extent of my striking, but they ain't seen nothing yet. You know, I'm going to bring something completely different. I've got new tactics that I'm bringing to this fight, you know, because he's a very dangerous opponent. And so, every fight I'm looking to level up and show something new, and you're going to see much more of that on October 17th.
When you got the call for this fight, do you remember what your initial thought was?
Well, I remember... I was telling my manager, Jason from Iridium, shout out to them. They always do an amazing job. So I always, he sort of says, what are your thoughts? When do you want to get back in? How are you feeling? How's the knee and blah, blah, blah. And obviously I told him I'm feeling good to go. I'm literally, I'll tell him all the time, I'm ready to go as soon as you can. And then he goes, okay, I'm going to have a word with the matchmaker, see what they say. And then that name came up, and already when they said the name, straight away, no hesitation, I'm like, I want to take this fight. Obviously I had to consult with obviously my coaches, my dad and stuff like that, because, you know, we realize he is very highly ranked, but at the end of the day, you're going to be facing the best guys in the world. Doesn't matter. This is why we're in the UFC, because we feel like we're prepared and ready to go out. If you're not going out there thinking that you're going to win the title already, then, do you know what I mean? You need to start working on yourself, because you've got to have that mindset, especially because now there are no easy fights. I don't think any fight is easy. Everything sort of brings something to the table. As soon as they said his name, I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to go. And it's funny enough, I've heard that quite a lot of guys, you know, turned him down. He'd been trying to get fights and no one wanted to fight him. And I'm like, well, do you know what I mean? I'll take that fight. And if no one else is going to jump in there, I'm going to take a steal on this deal. Do you know what I mean? So, man, I know how good of an opponent he is, but at the same time, I'm going to prove that I'm better.
Why do you think people are not willing to step up to fight him? Is there something that you see on film and you're like, okay, I can kind of see why maybe some people don't necessarily want to just jump at that fight?
Yeah, well, he's just dangerous. He's very all-rounded. I think that's one thing that is clearly visible in all his fights. He knows how to do a bit of everything. He's faced a good striker. He's faced good wrestlers. You know, he's faced really, really good opponents. He's tough. He's a risky fight. And the guy, especially the guys in the top 15, it's a risky fight that, you know, for them, if they lose sort of thing, then it's not going to look as good. So I can understand they don't want to take that risk, especially if you're getting the same money. But, you know, for me, obviously, it's almost like I have nothing to lose, you know, and I feel that I am better than him, and I feel that I can go and beat him. That's why I took the fight. Obviously, if we felt that there was something maybe I needed to work on, or maybe we need to take another fight. But again, I just don't get it. This whole thing about feeling your way through, and you're going to have tough fights. Doesn't matter what it is. You've got to go out and prove yourself. You know, if you think you're good enough, go out and do it. Go and fight the best guys. Go and enjoy yourself. Go and take big pressure and big stress. I think that's the best way to not only go through competition, but to live life. So, as soon as the name came through, and obviously he's very dangerous, I can understand why people would not want to fight him. But you know me, mate, we've been talking for quite a while now. I take big challenges as a good thing. Like, I like it. I'm drawn towards that.
You mentioned the word stress, made me kind of wonder, have you ever felt stress in the fight game?
Maybe earlier on in my career. I feel maybe when I had those two losses, I felt like maybe that overpowered, or I just didn't have the right way of thinking. It's funny, maybe stress wasn't exactly the best word to use. I mean, right now, when I go into fights, I feel very free, very relaxed, just sort of, you feel the pressure and you feel the butterflies, but it's almost like that butterflies give you that extra energy. It's like you're leveling up in a computer game, or like you're a Pokemon and you're leveling up or something, like right before you enter the cage. So, it's just something that it just creates that fire. So, and it's just learning how to control that fire. So I guess the best way I can put it is the stress or the fire or whatever. Now I know how to control it. And now I can use it to my advantage to go and put out my best performances.
As you think about how you have, what you need to do in on fight night to get the victory, is there one thing you would label as one of the keys to victory that you're willing to put out there?
Well, look, everyone seems to think I'm a one-dimensional guy, or, you know, I haven't got certain skill sets. So that's one thing that I'm definitely going to surprise people. When you go in there and you actually fight me, you're going to realize it's not going to be as easy to impose your game plan as you think you will. So that's going to be one thing, I guess you could say, lead into the fight. But look, again, people may think I'm not good in these areas, but this is where I'm going to go out and prove that I'm good in those areas, and that I'm much better than what they think I am. And the striking is going to be even more leveled up than what it was before, and especially tactically, specifically for my opponent.
When you hear people doubt your abilities, is that one of the biggest motivators for you?
Oh, 100%. I love being the underdog. You know, when I've been in that situation so many times, and, you know, throughout my life, there have been people that have been doubting me, you know, sort of didn't think I'll do nothing. A lot of people didn't think I'll make it to the UFC. A lot of people didn't think I was going to come back from those two losses. You know, a lot of people just sort of turned away from me. And it's funny now, you get all sorts of messages and all sorts of people like popping up and stuff like that that weren't there before. And it's like, well, where were you when I was at my lowest? You know, so I'm used to to having that where people don't expect much of me. But then, yeah, like you say, it just gives me more motivation and training. It gives me more determination. It gives me a bit more grit. And even if they did think I was like the most amazing person, I get humbled in training all the time. I face like the strongest guys at the particular attributes, like, you know, in their arts, and you know they're like the top guys. So I'm always, you know, I'm getting beat in training all the time. So that's why I'm always thinking I want to improve. I want to get better, and that just keeps me on the level. To want to, and you know, I've got no yes men around me. They're all telling me truthfully how to improve, especially my dad. Like, if my foot's out of place, or like I don't hit in a certain way, he'll tell me straight up. So I'm always constantly thinking, I've always got to make those improvements, always got to make those adjustments. And that's why I keep getting better, and that's why I keep proving people wrong, because they don't know I'm working my ass up out of here. I'm not just sitting around, you know, twiddling my thumbs. I'm going out here to become the best fighter in the world, because that's inevitably what I think any fighter should be striving to do, is to be the best fighter in the world. And that's exactly what I'm going out to do in my career.
And that journey continues here on October the 17th here in the United States, October the 18th, early in the morning. You know, does yeah. that, like, do you stay on UK time?
You just sort of adjust to what time you're going to fight. So I think I knew I was going to fight about 4 a.m. or 4:30 a.m. Last time I fought. So we just wake up appropriately just to be up and moving and ready at that particular time. And I mean, some other fighters would sort of, I think they would sleep at particular times and then wake up. We didn't really do that. It's not like we sort of changed our day. It was more just like, we just make sure we're up and ready at this time, and then we'll sleep and whatever we need to do. And then, and it, just to make sure that at that particular time, we're just ready. Like, you know, we're energized and stuff like that. And when it actually got to fight day, I don't think I actually slept like too crazy. But I slept a little bit of hours in the day and then a little bit of hours in the night. But then when I woke up, I was like fresh and ready to go, because I'd sort of fine tuned my body to get ready for that. I know now I think I'm going to be fighting a little bit later. So yeah, it's again just about, okay, well, when I go to sleep, make sure I just wake up at this time, get ready to train at this time, and then if I need to rest or whatever, I do it after. But it's just that specific time frame to be up and moving is what we're preparing for.
And of course, everyone will be able to see here here in the States on October the 17th. Modestus, has always been, I appreciate time. Of course, let me know, that follow you on social media, and anything else you want to mention, man.
Awesome. Also, thank you so much for having me on again, mate. I really appreciate it. Always lovely talking to you. Twitter, I've actually changed my name now to the Baltic Gladiator. I think that seems appropriate now since the nickname's been out there. Just Modestus Bukauskas on Facebook. On Instagram, it's MODYB24. I just got to obviously give all thank you to all my team, to my dad, my coaches, all the people that have been helping me out. Distinct Physiotherapy, Iridium Sports Agency, Mauler MMA, Fighter Shop UK. We're going to go out and do the business, and we're going to go do it in style.
And there was my conversation with Modestus Bukauskas. I appreciate him coming on the podcast. And also, that interview in video form is over on the MMA Report YouTube channel, talking about his matchup coming up here next weekend, UFC Fight Island, as he takes on Jimmy Crew. Really interesting matchup there at 205 pounds. And, you know, you look at both those guys, both up-and-coming prospects. Of course, we have seen Jimmy in the UFC now for some time. And, of course, Modestus coming off that successful UFC debut, of course. As I mentioned, big matchup at 205 pounds. Really looking forward to that fight coming up next weekend on UFC Fight Island. Now, the final three interviews you're going to hear on this edition of the MMA Report podcast will be fighters who will be fighting coming up on Friday night on UFC Fight Pass at Fighting Alliance Championship number 4. Up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Jason High. He is going to be taking on Josh Weston. Now, we have not seen Jason High in over 2 years, so part of the conversation was, hey, what's been going on, you know, in these 2 years away from competition? Part of it is the fact that he's now a realtor, and also, you know, we talked about the matchup against Josh Weston, but also kind of talked about what are his goals at this point in his MMA career. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who's going to be back inside competition coming up here on October the 9th. Jason, hi, Jason. Appreciate the time. It's been a while since we've seen you in competition, man. So how would you describe the last 2 years?
Well, I've stayed busy, you know, so I train pretty much, 6 days a week or more. So, it's been good, man. I had a surgical issue that I needed to wrap up. So I did that and just been kind of revamping and kind of nailing down on training and all that, you know, so it's been a good 2 years.
I was, when I was kind of, you know, searching around Facebook with you, I saw you're in real estate. So how did that come about?
Yeah. Well, that's something else I got accomplished in this 2 years. And, I don't know how that came around, actually. I just kind of had an interest in real estate, and I thought that I wanted to learn more about it. So I figured the best way to learn more about it is to go to real estate school and get my realtor's license and all that. And then I would kind of be like immersed in real estate for that amount of time, and I would be able to learn more there. And then just kind of as working as a realtor, you know, I'm touring real estate, I'm pricing, I'm running comps, I'm doing all kinds of stuff. So it's just a way to do something I'm interested in and make a little money, you know.
You know, obviously there could be an interesting interaction you might have with someone who's looking to buy some real estate. Has there been do they kind of maybe walk into the office, walk into an open house, and they go, "Hey, you're Jason High the Fighter." Has that ever happened?
No, that's never happened. Not yet. I mean, you know, I'm still kind of young in the game. I've been doing it for about 8 months now. So, you know, I'm sure there's still time for that, you know?
So how do you balance the schedule between, you know, the fighter, you know, getting the work in the training room, but also obviously, your job in real estate?
My days pretty much right now, I train in the mornings, and then, I go make my calls and do any contract work, showings or anything like that I have to do in the afternoon. And then I go back to the gym at night. So really, as far as that, you know, like, one of the appeals about real estate was that it was kind of a make your own schedule type deal, you know? So I can do this around fighting, and I can still train hard. And so it works out, you know?
And you got this fight here against Josh Weston. Look on Tapology. You guys were actually supposed to fight earlier this year. You know, what's your thoughts on him as an opponent? I mean, is there something particular that sticks out to you about him?
Yeah, I mean, I know he's a tough guy. He's he actually fought one of my teammates on the card that we were supposed to fight, and so I got to check him out there. He's got power. He's always game to fight, and he's got a good chin. I mean, you know, I think he's going to be a tough fight, honestly. And I'm preparing for a tough fight. Like, I never go into a fight thinking, you know, I'm going to blow through this guy. You know, I always train like my life's on the line. You know, so. That's what I've been doing, and that's what I will continue to do until I'm done with this, you know.
What do you think his view of you is?
You know, I don't know. I mean, he's probably, you know, he's been a little bit more active than I have over the last 2 years, so maybe he's thinking I'm coming up with some ring rust, or, you know, thinking maybe I'm a 38-year-old, I'm too old for this. I don't know. I mean, I don't care what he thinks about me at all, honestly. Like, I haven't thought about what he thinks about me, you know.
Do you believe ring rust, cage rust is a real thing, or do you think it's just more mental than anything else?
I think it is a real thing. Like, sometimes, like, there are people that maybe only train when they have a fight, you know. And I'm not one of those guys. So, you know, I mean, if there is some ring rust, I think I should have it shaken off by 2 or 3 minutes out there, you know. I mean, but it can be a real thing, you know, especially if you start thinking and worrying about it.
You mentioned about your age. I mean, have you started to kind of think about, you know, what goals you have left in the fight game? Or is it just simply a fight-by-fight kind of thought process at this point?
Yeah, right now is fight by fight. I mean, one of the plans that I had with real estate was to kind of like get the real estate up and running as I'm kind of like waning out of fighting, you know. But I don't know, my body feels good. I'm still able to train hard, and you know, I can still like, I can still put good rounds on people. So I don't know. I think I'll probably fight until the wheels fall off. Like, you know, it's not like I'm gonna stop fighting and then be able to fucking pick it back up at 50. So, you know, you only got one shot at it, and I'm still having fun. So I'm going to go for it, you know.
What do you enjoy most about the fight game?
I really just, I don't know. I mean, I've kind of been in these rooms throughout my life. You know, I started wrestling when I was like 9 years old, and I was in the room with the wrestlers. And then after that, you know, all through high school and college. So that's probably really my favorite part, is just, you know, all my really good friends are either fighters or wrestlers, you know? So it's like my social group at this point. And I just like being in the room, you know, that's like my favorite part, really, like being in the room, talking shit and, you know, rolling around and tussling with my friends. That's really my favorite part, you know?
Is there someone inside the gym that can talk good enough trash to you that kind of, you know, gets you motivated inside the room?
Oh yeah. Oh, James Krause will run his mouth, bro. He's the one. He's the guy. Yeah, no, he runs his mouth pretty well, you know. And you see him in fights running his mouth too. So he practices in the room, and you know, there'll be some times we'll be jawing back at each other, but it's all in good fun, you know.
Yeah, James has told me he likes when people talk trash towards him.
Yeah, no, he, you know, it's funny. Like I mean, I guess I've known him now for like 10 years maybe. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't really like that when I first met him, you know. This is a new thing, you know. So I like it though. I'm all for it, you know. That's like I said, just being in the room, that kind of shit is the best part for me, you know. So like the fights are cool, but you know, we only fight a few times a year max, you know. Most of the time spent drudging around the gym, you know. So yeah. It's a way to like lighten things up, you know, and just kind of keep it moving and keep it fresh, you know? So yeah, I don't mind that at all. You know,
I saw that you called commentary for the recent FAC show. Did sitting there cage side, did you see the fights differently than maybe you've experienced fights before?
Yeah, definitely. It was, you know, sometimes when I was sitting there, I found myself just watching the fights when I should be talking about them, you know? And I'm like, oh, you know, like I would have a reaction moment, like, oh, that was a good shot. And I would kind of step on, I was commentating with Sean Wheelock, who's like one of the most experienced, like professional. I mean, I've only commentated a few times, and that was my first time doing it with him. And he really blew me away with his professionalism and just how organized he is, all that. So, you know, he was kind of like pitching to me, and sometimes I realized I'd be like stepping on his toes, you know, calling the action when I should be, you know, kind of doing more color responsibilities. But it was a good learning experience, and you definitely get like a different viewpoint on the fights. You know, I kind of had like, I had one of the corners, like we're sitting right next to us. So I'm kind of listening to them too, while I'm commentating and kind of giving the audience that insight. So yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, that's the one thing when you're doing a play-by-play broadcast, you've never really worked with the person, is trying to figure out how they talk and, you know, when they're teeing you up for various things. It's tough. I've done play-by-play. I've done it for a long time. It's tough.
Yeah, it's fun though. I mean, you know, that's like, it's about as good as you can get for a guy like me. I mean, you know, to be able to like earn a little bit of money and talk about fights and watch fights. I mean, you know, what else is there? You know, I'm like, okay, I can do this. You know?
The weirdest part for me doing MMA play by play is when they're right in front of you and you know, they can hear every little thing you're saying.
Yeah, no, I don't care at all. I'm just, whatever. I'm just saying what's on my mind out there, you know?
So. Well, and that's what people want to tune in. They want to hear you speak your mind and tell you how you feel. But of course, you got this fight here, October 9th, FAC number 4. Jason, as always, appreciate time. Of course, let me know if they can find you on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
No, man. I just thanks for having me, and be sure to look out for some fireworks on October 9th.
And there was my conversation with Jason High. I appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his matchup coming up here in the main event of Fighting Alliance Championship number 4, of course, live on UFC Fight Pass. Now, the co-main event of the evening will feature my next guest, and that is David Onama. He is going to be taking on Justin Overton. I had a chance to talk to David before his last fight, goes out there, gets a win, decisive win, great fight for him, undefeated, and this is a prospect out of that Midwest scene you got to pay attention to, training out of Glory Fitness there under James Krause. So had a chance to talk to David about his matchup against Justin Overton. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to step right back inside competition here on October the 9th, about 2 months between fights. It's David, man. David, I appreciate time. Looking to go to 6-0 in your career, man. Of course, we talked back in August prior to your last matchup, and man, that one went great for you. Like, as you think about your performance in that fight, is there something about what you accomplished? I mean, obviously outside of the win, but is there something in the fight that still sticks with you to this day?
Just my performance. I felt like I went in there and performed well, and everything that me and my coaches and my teammates worked on, everything showed out well, and I felt like everything that our game plan came out perfect, and it showed, you know. So I think everything that we worked on worked out well.
In terms of, you know, you're always evolving as a martial artist. Every right. fight, you know, one fight, it's, right. you know, maybe it's based on, you know, just what you've been working on over the past couple of months. But, like, is what's the difference we'll see in you as a martial artist next week as opposed to what we saw back in August?
Oh, man, I'm just going to keep doing me. Same game plan, you know, just go out there and keep winning, man. You know, that's all I know is keep winning. Honestly, man, just win. Get back to training and do it all over again.
Speaking of your training, I was told you got your blue belt last month.
I did. Yep. I'm excited about that.
Was that something you knew was coming, or was it a little bit of a surprise?
I didn't know. I just kind of just showed up to a practice, and after practice, Zach Cummins, promoted me with a blue belt, and I was surprised because I didn't expect it. So he's like, "Hey, man, who's your blue belt?" I'm like, "Oh shit, it's awesome."
Like, as you think about your jiu-jitsu, as you have leveled up, you know, in your martial arts journey, like, what's like, how would you describe how you have evolved as a jiu-jitsu practitioner?
It's been a pretty, I started up pretty, like tough as a jiu-jitsu. I wasn't really good at it, like grappling at all. And, I was more of a striker. So, Zach Cummins, got me into, to jiu-jitsu. He's like, "Hey, I feel like you need to do the jiu-jitsu," because I wasn't really good at it at all. I was always like striking, and he just told me to, he got me a gi and just told me to get into jiu-jitsu class. And I just started doing jiu-jitsu, and from there, man, here I am with a blue belt, you know.
When you train jiu-jitsu, do you prefer gi or no gi?
I like no gi. I like no gi better because you get more submissions. But like with a gi, I can't really do much, you know. So I prefer a no gi. I like no gi way better than gi.
And of course, now you've got your third fight of 2020 here at Fighting Alliance Championship number 4 on October 9th, of course, live on UFC Fight Pass, taking on Justin Overton. As you have evaluated Justin as an opponent, what would you say is his biggest strength he's going to bring to the cage?
Justin is very he's very tough when it comes to grappling and wrestling. So I think he's going to come out very strong in the first round. He's going to start shooting a lot. He faints a lot. He just comes out hard first round, just trying to grapple. And he fits in really well with his shots. And I just got to avoid that. And I should be good, honestly. Yeah.
Is that your general mentality every fight of like I just expect my opponent's going to try to get this thing to the ground. They're not going to be on the feet with me. Like, yes, a fight stands on the feet, but I know sooner than later, they're going to try to get this one to the ground.
Yeah, that's what everybody does with me. Like, I feel like they know my game plan and like they'll watch my fights and they know I'm like a striker. So first thing they do is automatically shoot on me because they don't want to stand with me. Like, don't nobody, like, everybody I fight don't want to, like, stand with me. Everybody either shoots or just breaks. So, yeah, Justin's going to for sure just come out just shooting. Just going to try to out-grapple me. But, I mean, I can grapple too. I just got, yeah. You know, I just got my blue belt. So, that's not nothing big for me. So, you know, it's not new to me. I'm ready to grapple him if he wants.
Do you take that as a compliment that people understand how good you are on the feet, or do you kind of take that as, man, this dude don't respect me on the ground?
I think they respect me. I just got to show people that I can grapple a little bit more. You know what I mean? Because most of my fights, I don't really shoot on nobody. So they're kind of like, man, was this guy a grappler or what is this guy, a striker? So I got to kind of show people that I can grapple, kind of come out a little with a different game plan, you know, and try to grapple a little bit more because I can grapple, man. It's just, I just like standing. So,
but don't you kind of
have to switch it up?
But don't you kind of feel like, in a way, it's like, okay, I don't want to show my grappling off because the more fights I can get where I don't show it off is you really don't know what I can do and becomes a big unknown.
Yeah. Man, it's, I don't know, man. I'm going to have to switch that up, get more into grappling and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know yet.
Is there part of you that's like, man, I just want to submit somebody just to show off. This is what I could do. Is that ever in the mindset? Is like, man, no, man, I just, you know, it's like they say, chicks love the long ball in baseball. Everyone loves a knockout in MMA.
Yeah, I want to. Maybe someday I'll try to grapple somebody and go for a submission. But I don't really. That's not like I'm not a big fan of that. But if it happens, it happens. For example, if he like shoots and I get a guillotine, you know, I'm gonna love to take that. But if not, I don't really plan on it. If it happens, it happens. If it don't, then you know it don't. So, I don't know. Whatever happens, we're going to see.
In terms of, I know you visualize this fight going down many ways. You kind of mentioned about what you're expecting to see out of your opponent. But as you visualize the victory coming, how do you see it coming?
I'm thinking about first round. I'm just going to go in there and just kind of see how he fights, watch his game. Kind of just test him, you know, see what he's good at, what he's not good at. And second round, kind of do the same thing, which I think he's going to break the second round. Mm-hmm. Because he's not like he's more of a first round fighter, not a second round fighter. So I think second round, probably like a TKO. I'm thinking about a TKO second round.
A win here puts you 6-0. You know, obviously you're getting to that point of, you know, those big opportunities are going to start coming as you continue to rack up these wins. Like, what's your thoughts on what the future holds for you?
Oh man, I feel like I'm ready for the next level. I feel like I competed with a lot of good guys, went 12-0 as an amateur, 5-0 as a pro. I fought a lot of good guys. I feel like I'm ready for that next level, man. Like, I prove everybody that, you know, where I belong on a higher stage now. Cause I just feel like I'm at the top now, man. Like, to where I need to like level up a little bit and, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
And of course, we look forward to seeing this fight come up here next week, October the 9th, live on UFC Fight Pass. It's Fighting Alliance Championship number 4. David, as always, man, I appreciate time. Of course, let me know anything fight on social media and anybody else you want to shout out, man. The floor is yours.
Yeah, man. Guys, follow me on Instagram, Devin Onama, and Facebook, same thing, Devin Onama. Like I said, I still don't have Twitter yet, but if I do, I'll keep you guys updated on that.
And there was my conversation with David Onama. Appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his matchup in the co-main event of Fighting Alliance Championship number 4. And that is definitely a guy you got to pay attention to. You have to imagine if he gets a win coming up on Friday night that his days in the regional scene may just be over. Maybe that's one of the guys Bellator maybe tries to go out and get, or maybe ultimately ends up in the UFC. Now, our final conversation that you're going to hear on this edition of the MMA Report podcast is with Mikey England. He is 2-0, looking to go 3-0 here on Friday night at Fighting Alliance Championship number 4. Going to be taking on Sean Scott. Of course, I'm very familiar with Sean and his brother Derek, but I had a chance to talk to Mikey. First time I have had a chance to talk to Mikey and talk to him about this fight and also his day job as a firefighter. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to be part of Fighting Alliance Championship number 4 coming October the 9th as he takes on Sean Scott, of course, live on UFC Fight Pass. Mikey England. Mikey, appreciate time. I was peeking at your Instagram, and your most recent post kind of really stuck out to me, where you said part of the post was this, was simplifying my game plan down to one word, violence. So kind of... I'm sure that's the game plan pretty much every time for you. But has that kind of always been in the mindset of like that? Just simply break it down. That is what my game plan is.
Yeah. It kind of as a gym, you know, that's where we got James Krause kind of leading our pack, and he gives a talk after every practice, and we were talking about like, you know, we want to get guys into the UFC and compete in the UFC and everything at the highest level. And we were talking one day, we kind of just simplified it down to, hey, what they're looking for. Like, if we could put it into one word, it's like they want violence, you know. So we're like, all right, that's the game plan.
Of course, I know you're a firefighter. Looks like you're at the firehouse right now. So what came first, martial artist or firefighter?
Martial arts. So I wanted to find a way to where I could do martial arts more. And so I got out of college and I wrestled in college. And when I got done with college, I wanted to be done training. I was over it. Didn't want to do it anymore. I cut a lot of weight and everything. And so then it took me about 2 years of working out in the real world, you know, desk job and stuff. And then I finally, I'm like, all right, let me go try jiu-jitsu maybe. And so then I started doing jiu-jitsu. And then I'm like, well, I started watching practice. I'm like, I think I could beat that guy. And then next thing you know, I'm like full-blown doing, you know, like trying to train every hour of the day that I'm not working. And then, I wasn't really enjoying, I was doing more like home loans, like mortgages and stuff. And I wasn't really enjoying that. So I'm like, how can I get a job, you know, where I can pay my bills and stuff, but still, you know, train more. And I coached a little kid's wrestling program.
Okay.
And a couple of the dads on the wrestling program were firefighters. And like, hey, like, we can kind of help you through the interview process, like kind of let you know, like some of the things that they're looking for, and try to help you get on the job. And sure enough, they helped me got on. And then, and now I work 24 hours on, then I have 48 hours off.
How does that work? You know, is when you're 24 hours on, is it like, you know, the times that you're just sitting around the firehouse, are you trying to find ways to, you know, kind of incorporate training in some way?
Oh yeah. I'm actually in the weight room right now. It's our, cause otherwise like I'm with, you know, with all the rest of my crew. This is the kind of the only place in our firehouse that you have a little isolation. But yeah, we have a little bit of a schedule throughout the day, and after lunch, we have a little free time. So usually you can go study. Some people maybe take a little nap. I don't know if I can say that, but they take a little nap, and usually that's when I try to get a workout in the weight room.
And of course, everything's going great for you here in your pro career. You know, 2-0. You know, both those wins coming here in 2020, TKO win in August against Travis Ford. Now you got Sean Scott. I'm familiar with Sean and his brother Derek. What's your take of Sean as a fighter?
I know he's a big, strong guy. He's got a good physique. You know, I like to watch the fights, but I also like to watch like the entrance and kind of just the aura that the person brings. And he looks like a big, strong dude. And then all of his fights, you know, he's durable too. A lot of his fights, I think, have gone to like decisions. And so, I mean, he's gonna stick around, I think, you know, in the fight. And so, I'm expecting. Every time I go into a fight, man, I hope for the best, but I'm always expecting like a dog fight, a war, the whole 15 minutes. So same with this fight.
What do you view as your key to victory?
I honestly think the key to, like, for me, I think the key to victory is just being able to impose your will. Mm-hmm. And I don't worry too much about what the other guy does. Mm-hmm. Like I have a lot of experience with I wrestled for 18 years. And so I kind of learned that the more I worried about what the other guy was going to do, the worse my performance was. So, you know, I watch my opponent a little bit just to kind of see like how they move a little bit, but I don't watch them too extensively. And then I just go out there and try to impose my will, which, you know, as like Nate Diaz would say, he's like, you know, go in there, try not to get hit them, walk home with a pocket full of cash.
You mentioned about kind of, you know, hey, I'm worried about what I got to do. I'm not really worried about my opponent. Is that, you know, you mentioned about, you know, coming from your wrestling roots of where that came from, but in terms of even back in your amateur career, was that always the mindset?
Yeah. With my amateur career was just a lot of unknown, really. I just didn't know what it would be like. And like, you can watch it. And I've been a fan of, I was watching I think the first UFC I ever watched was like BJ Penn, Matt Hughes 1,
okay,
which was like way back in the day. So it's been like, I've been watching it forever. And you don't really understand it until you get in there and like do it. And so then, my first amateur fight, I have like a video that I have saved, because I took like a little video of the arena. And I was so nervous that I was like shaking, like the whole video shaking, you know. So my amateur career was more just kind of like, it was unknown and just kind of fill in the unknown parts. And I'm still doing that, but I'm a lot more familiar with the process and what it's like to be in there and, you know, one, get hit, two, you know, to hit somebody. And it's definitely a one of a kind sport, though. Like, you don't get that feeling anywhere else.
Can you describe the feeling of winning a fight?
Oh man, I know it's different for a lot of people. I know when, like, some people, like, they win, they can kind of get emotional. But for me, it's just like, it's kind of a party for me, you know. It's just like. I go out there, I try to be exciting. And then if I went, and like in wrestling, I was always kind of reserved. And like, I grew up like, hey, you know, be really respectful to your opponents. Like, when you win or lose, it should look the same. And now, like getting into fighting, you kind of learn that it's a little bit more, it's more entertainment. Like, it is a competition, but it's very heavily relied on the entertainment, you know, value. So then it's kind of like, I feel like being yourself is gonna sell. People will see through fakeness and stuff. But it's like, hey man, like whatever emotions you got, it's like let them show. And so for me, whenever I win a fight, it's just I'm pumped. Luckily, I have a pretty good little. I have a huge family, so like at least I know my family will be there, and that's a good chunk of the crowd. You know, just them, and so I usually have some fans there, and so whenever I get done, I celebrate and I kind of let the emotions, you know, I let them show, and usually I'm just super pumped. Cause I mean, you just got done fighting someone in the cage, which is just not a normal thing.
Was your family always on board with you being a fighter?
My grandma's no. My mom says she doesn't like it, but I think she kind of does. she gets a little attention on Facebook and stuff for it, and I think she likes it. But you know, I have like five other brothers.
Oh wow!
And so like they love it. They get to go. They get to, you know, drink some beer. Like they tailgate a little beforehand, get rowdy in the crowd. And my older brother, he's kind of the spark plug of the crowd. I feel like it's funny. Every time I get like videos from the crowd, I can always hear him, you know, trying to get some group chants going and stuff. It's fun.
And of course, we get to see your fight come up here next week, October the 9th, Fighting Alliance Championship number 4 live on UFC Fight Pass. Mikey, appreciate the time. Good luck here in the fight. Of course, I'd love to know anything for you on social media and anything else you want to mention. The floor is yours, man.
Heck yeah. Man, I don't really have too much. I'm Mikey England, EXP, Mikey England Experience on Instagram. That's kind of the only social media that I really promote. But, of course, you can find me on Facebook, Mikey England. That's usually where I post all my, like, fight news and stuff for friends and family. But, heck yeah.
And there was my conversation with Mikey England. I appreciate him coming on the podcast to talk about his matchup coming up on Friday, Fighting Alliance Championship number 4. That is an event that you can watch on UFC Fight Pass. So give that show a like. I actually has talked to a couple of their fighters from the previous event and now this event. And so I will definitely try to check that out there on Friday night on UFC Fight Pass. Do want to thank all my guests coming on this edition of the podcast, Modestus Bukauskas, Jason Hyde, David Onama, and Mikey England. Just kind of let you know what's coming up this week here on with myself, as of course I will have the MMA Report podcast on Wednesday. Myself and Daniel Galvan will break down everything that we saw happen last weekend with the UFC and Bellator. Also, we'll get you ready for this weekend's UFC. We've got Bellator in Paris. Check Congo headlining that fight card. Also, we have got the UFC event on Fight Island that I am really looking forward to. Looking forward to that main event of Corey Sandhagen and Marlon Moraes. That is a fight card that really intrigues me. Looking forward to watching those two, you know, top bantamweights go at it. Overall, a nice UFC fight card. You know, I would say as I look at the preliminary card, probably the fighter on the preliminary card that I would say probably interests me the most will probably be Impa. You know, 8-0, taking on Joaquin Buckley, you know, and Impa, a guy that we saw a successful UFC debut, you know, just, what, a month or two ago? Well, probably, well, I guess about a month ago. And now he's back at it. And, I mean, look, it's right now in MMA, you can take advantage of some big opportunities. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to breaking down the fights. Also, Wednesday night, I will be on Awesomeo as myself and Pete Rogers Jr. will go our DFS strategy show for this UFC fight card. And then, of course, on Saturday, Pete and I will be back on Awesomeo for Live Before Lock. We will be on 1 hour before the fights, breaking down and answering any DFS questions as you are building your UFC DFS lineups coming up on Monday. And then, of course, Thursday night, I got Buccaneers Radio Network duty as we will be playing Thursday night against the Chicago Bears. So, busy week for me, as always. And, of course, if you're not following me on Twitter, I really would appreciate if you hit that follow button on Twitter. That is @Jason_Floyd. That's the best way to interact with me. It is a platform that I am the most active on. I'm on Twitter all the time. So just hit me on Twitter at Jason_Floyd. I am on Instagram as well. That gives you kind of more of a peek into, I guess, my everyday life. I try to, you know, sometimes I go like a week or two without really posting anything, but I do try to post some stuff there up on Instagram. At Jason_Floyd. My latest post on Instagram was from this morning as I was producing the Lawfather podcast, which is with Tampa based attorney William Frankie. So I always do try to post some content and show you kind of what's going on in my life. But that is going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast. Of course, the interview podcast typically comes out on Sunday, but well, it may come out on Monday like this one did, depending on my schedule. But of course, myself and Daniel are there every Wednesday for the MMA Report podcast. So that's going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast, which of course you can find on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and always RadioInfluence.com.